Good morning. Welcome to worship today. Lots going on in the coming weeks, so please do check out in the bulletin some of those announcements that are coming. We want to make sure that you note that next week we're going to honor our graduating seniors, and the week after that we'll be confirming our confirmation students who have been through their 2 years. So I hope you can be here for both of those celebrations that we'll have in the life of our church in the next couple of weeks. Lots more in here. Put another plug in for our camp that's happening July 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, run by Lutheridge counselors, and it'll be right here for those who have finished kindergarten up through those who have finished the fifth grade. Should be some registration forms back in the narthex, and if you're having trouble finding one, you can see me, or you can also get the form on our website, hollygrovelutheranchurch.org. But the Lutheridge counselors that are coming in from Asheville for that will be excellent. So I hope that we have a big crowd and that the kids in your families are able to be with us. I was reminded that we wanted to announce that we're having Lutheran Men in Mission tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Are there other announcements that we want to share this morning? Joe. That's great. It was a really good turnout yesterday. I counted 26 bikes, Tony. 26 bikes, and some of those with a couple riders. Yeah. So really good turnout and wonderful event to raise money to feed kids. There was some more raising money to feed kids going on over on Heath Church Road, I think, right? That's great. It's a good weekend for feeding children. Yeah, wonderful weekend for the ministry of Christ in this place. Joe, you had another announcement, sir? And I believe today is the appointed day. If you have a student in your sphere, your family member or something, who is in some sort of education beyond high school, scholarship applications are supposed to be due today, and you could probably either hand that to Joe or get it to him in his email or make arrangements with him to do so quickly if it's not going to happen today. Other announcements this morning. I think we are going to do some prayer shawls, right?
So this week, Sharon Everhart's sister died, Kathy Owens, and so Sharon crocheted these blankets for her daughters. So it's Stephanie Poor and Renee Rummage. So if you'll bless these prayer shawls. And then I have just a note to HGLC. Thank you for remembering me on Mother's Day. The carnation bud vase was the perfect pick for me from my church family. Love and peace, Burnett. And then I also have one other invitation. It's to a reception honoring the retirees from Davidson County High School, Anthony Kraft, Martha Manus, which we all know and love, and Donna Smith, which a lot of you know Donna as well. But they're having a reception on Friday, June the 7th, at the Davidson County High School. It says Pod C Commons. It's from 1 to 2. Martha wanted to invite anyone that's interested in coming that helped with our teen parent showers. So if anyone is able to come.
Oh,
okay. Oh, okay. So Martha does not know we're invited, but they want to surprise her. So I hope that some of us will be able to go.
Wanted to give a few notes about our prayers today. We certainly will pray for the family of Kathy Owen, Sharon's sister. We also want to add to our prayers the family of Michelle Fanslaw. So Michelle is the daughter of Kathy Fanslaw, who was the pastor here, and Michelle died this week. And so we want to keep that family in our prayers. Additionally, that we have some prayers for some folks that didn't make it into the list here after we printed the bulletin. We're going to be praying for the family of Gil, who was one of Rusty Blower's good friends, who has died. And then the Kepley family, Greg and Gyla. So Greg was back in the emergency room last night, Gyla said, with his kidney stones, and we're hoping that those can pass and he can be in peace soon. And yesterday, Friday night, Gyla was in the emergency room with her mother, Joanne Cook, who fell and broke her hip. So we'll keep all of that family in our prayers as well. Other announcements before we wish some birthdays and anniversary joy? We wish happy birthday this week to Randy, Joe, Judy, Maddie, Johnny, Jordan, Lisa, and Nathan, and happy anniversary to BJ and Katie and Gary and Paula. Are there other folks we should add to the list? Yes, ma'am. And happy birthday to Chris as well. Thank you. Let's pray for those folks. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We stand as we begin on page 94 in the front of your book. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, Come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Whole world.
Let us pray. Bountiful God, you gather your people into your realm and you promise us food from your tree of life. Nourish us with your word, that empowered by your Spirit, we may love one another and the world you have made. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Congregation may be seated if the children will join me for a children's message. And I would like to ask you guys, can we sit in a circle right here? And I want us to sit as close together as we can today. Okay. All right. Now, what we're going to try to do is I'm going to see if Neil can help us out here. We're going to try. Have you guys ever made like a fort?
Yes.
And we all get under a blanket? Can we try that? We're going to have to see how this is going to go. All right. Get in tight if you can.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I'm here.
Okay. Here we go. Now, I've got something in here I want to show you guys. Anybody know what this is? A light stick, a glow stick. Okay, so I'm going to crack it in here. Oh, look at that. Okay, this did get dark enough to see under here. I wasn't sure how this was going to go. So this glow stick puts off some pretty cool light, doesn't it? It's pink. It's sort of purpley pink. It's kind of fun. It's got some bubbles in it, right? But you guys can see the light coming off that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's neat. Okay, I think we're done with the blanket now. Thank you. You can sort of tell that there's a little bit of light coming off this now, but is this like going to help you see anything right now?
No.
Like, would you need this if like you had to go out that door and or walk down the aisle here? Would you need this to help you see?
No.
No? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Because there's some light coming off it. You don't need this?
No. No, you don't.
You don't think you need it?
The room.
Marcus says if it's dark, you would need it. But right now, you don't need it? No, why not?
It's not dark. It's light and there's lights.
Okay, so we've got lights. We have lots of lights. Some of them we almost forgot to turn on this morning, but now they're all on, and the light coming out of there. And where else is there light coming from?
God.
Well, yeah, maybe. But where? How about like the windows?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's some light coming in the windows. Where does that light come from? Are there some big lights shining out there?
Mm-hmm.
The sun is shining in through the windows a little bit too, right? Yeah, so we don't really need this right now because there's enough light. You really only need this when it's dark. So we'll just put this away.
Nighttime.
Yeah, like at nighttime you might need it. We are going to hear a lesson today from the book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation is all about what God is going to do to make this world the way that God intends it to be and to make it right and to make the world good in the places where it's broken. And one of the things it says is when God's plan is finished and ready and as it's supposed to be, we're not even going to need lights like we have lights in here. And even more than that, we're not even going to need the sun and we're not even going to need the moon because the glory of God will give us the light we need. And not only that, we won't need anything because there will be food there for us. There will be no more mourning, no more tears, no more pain. We will have everything that we need and we'll have it from God and we'll have it abundantly. The whole world, all the nations come to God's holy city and everything we need is there. So we won't even need lights. We won't even need the sun and the moon because the glory of God will shine in that place and God will give us all that we need, which I think sounds pretty beautiful and wonderful. So that's what we are looking forward to, the time when God makes all things new. Would you guys pray with me today? Lord God, give us new hearts, clean hearts to love and serve you. Light our way. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Now, before you guys go anywhere, I happen to know that in Children's Church today, they're practicing for playing the bells next week. So if you are a part of that, you are welcome to head to Children's Church. If you would like to play bells today and just practice, you are welcome to be part of Children's Church, or you are always welcome to stay and sit with us in here with your family. Does that sound good? Okay, if you are going to go to Children's Church and practice bells, head with Miss Tina over here.
First lesson day comes from Acts, the 16th chapter.
During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we were supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer of purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her husband were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. The word of the Lord. Psalm today is Psalm 67 and will be read responsibly by whole verse. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, has blessed us.
May God continue to bless us. Let all the ends of the earth revere him. Second reading is from the book of Revelation, the 21st chapter. And in the Spirit, he carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. People will bring into the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb, through the middle of the city, the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruits each month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more night. There need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. The word of the Lord.
According to John, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus answered the disciples' questions, saying, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. The origins of our Memorial Day come out of what was originally called Decoration Day, which was at first a way to honor those who had died in the Civil War. In 1868, the first Decoration Day was held at Arlington National Cemetery, where 5,000 participants decorated the 20,000 graves of both the Union and Confederate soldiers buried there, which is really quite remarkable because just over 3 years earlier, active fighting was still going on. It's clear that at that point in 1868, bitter feelings still remain between the North and the South, and yet here were the graves of those who had died from both sides of the conflict being decorated together. Unfortunately, it does not sound like that kind of reconciliation was the norm at that point. History is available from Arlington National Cemetery itself. Note that for many years after the war, Arlington was considered a Union cemetery, even though hundreds of Confederate soldiers were also buried there. And in fact, family members of Confederate soldiers were denied permission often to decorate their loved ones' graves, and in extreme cases were even denied entrance to the cemetery itself. So even though they had honored all graves on that first Decoration Day in 1868, it really took a whole generation, more than 30 years, for those bitter feelings to begin to fade. But fade they finally did begin to. In the early 1900s, Congress authorized that a section of the cemetery should be set aside for the burial of Confederate dead as well, and by 1914, veterans from both the North and the South placed wreaths on the graves of their former enemies. That day, veterans from both sides gathered at that dedication to honor the graves of the very men and boys who once could have been the ones shooting at them. There's something holy in that, isn't there? Something faithful, because it starts to sound like what Jesus is talking about in the fifth chapter of Matthew, loving your enemies, praying for those who curse you. It starts to sound like the work of reconciliation. As beautiful a beginning as that reconciliation was at Arlington, though, we know that there is still work to be done. The reconciliation between North and South, Union and Confederate, is still incomplete. If it weren't, there wouldn't be controversy like we see right now around things like Confederate monuments. So we know that reconciliation is still 150 years later an ongoing process. But in Revelation, we get a vision of what true and complete reconciliation looks like. This, at the end of Revelation, is the vision of God's endgame, that is, the reconciliation of all people. It begins with the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. So by the way, if you ever encounter these predictions from Christian Zionists about the need to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem in order to usher in the second coming of Christ, well, you might consider this passage, because this is a new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven, and it's specifically said not to need any temple, because its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. And while we're at it, there's more that's no longer needed. There's no need anymore for sun or moon, light or lamp, because the glory of God itself is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And this is where we really start to pick up on this reconciliation, the work of God in earnest. Because those kings of the nations bringing their glory into the city, this actually isn't the first time we've heard about those kings in Revelation. We last heard about them back two chapters earlier in Revelation 19, where what they were doing was assembling with the beast and their armies to do battle against the Lord. Spoiler alert, the Lord wins. It's not even a contest, in fact, because as soon as the beast and the kings of the earth with their armies have assembled against the Lord, it's over. The very next thing we hear isn't that some epic battle ensues, but that the beast is captured. So it seems to me, at least, like this battle is over before it even really gets started. And the kings of the earth, clearly, they're on the wrong side in their rebellion against God, right? But not two chapters later, here we are with the nations of the earth streaming into the holy city of God, whose gates are never shut, and the kings are bringing their glory. Which at first glance is sort of hard to figure, since it also says that nothing unclean will enter the city, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood. So how is it that these kings, who were just in open rebellion, are streaming into the city? To answer that, we have to pull back just a bit and ask, what is it that is being revealed in the book of Revelation? It's not a handbook for predicting the end times. What is revealed is God's plan for the redemption of the world in Jesus Christ. And that plan looks like new creation. Remember from last week, no more mourning, no more crying, no more tears, no more pain, for the first things have passed away. The one seated on the throne, the Alpha and the Omega, saying, "See, I am making all things new." This is why we can have the kings of the nations, who were just arrayed to do battle against the Lord, now all streaming into the holy city, where they find the tree of life whose leaves are for the healing of the nations. New creation. That's why we can live in the hope of entering the holy city too, even if we've been known from time to time to let some falsehoods slip. Nothing accursed will be found there, nor anyone who practices abominations or falsehood. But new creation is not about how people were or how they are now, but how they will be when God's work is done. And God, frankly, will clean up this mess. God will make a new creation out of us sinners. God does it for the kings of the earth who had just sided with the beast in open rebellion, and we fully expect that in Jesus, God even cleans up the messes in my heart and in yours. Cleans them so pure, in fact, that there is no need for the gates of the city to be closed by day. In this creation, there's nothing to shut out anymore. So the gates are open all day, and it's never night. Did you catch that? So they're open all the time. This is God's reconciliation, begun in Christ Jesus and brought to fulfillment in the fullness and completeness of time. And in that day, there is God's judgment. Absolutely, yes. But that judgment looks like not only declaring what is not worthy of the kingdom, but also removing the unworthy parts from us and all of creation. removing the barriers that we throw up to right relationship with God. We are made new creation. Still us, but without the sinful, destructive parts of us that God has judged not worthy. This is total reconciliation. Not just a gesture, not simply a step in the right direction, but all barriers being removed, the gates flung open, because there is no stain that the Lamb cannot wash away. In Jesus Christ, this is what God has done for you. All things made new. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Our faith by use of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
Trusting God's promise of new life, we pray for the renewal of the church, the world, and all of creation. Lord, prevail upon us with your Spirit. Convince us daily that you have called us to proclaim the good news of your grace. Let all who love you proclaim your word of life. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Lord, feed us with the bounty of your creation. Bless the earth with enough rain and sunshine for the flourishing of orchards, gardens, and fields. Give us thankful hearts as we share the fruit of the land with all who hunger. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Lord, the leaves of your tree of life are for the healing of the nations. Bring an end to war, genocide, terrorism, and violence. Overcome divisions of race, politics, and religion. Mend relationships across borders and across oceans. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Too often, Lord, our hearts are troubled and afraid. Visit us again with your peace. Comfort those facing uncertain futures, those who are unemployed or underemployed, those in difficult relationships, those suffering from chronic pain, those waiting for news about their health, those living with cancer, and all those who are sick. Especially we pray for Burnett, Harold, Lydia, John, Lydia, Sheila, Gary, the family of Sue, Bill, Joanne, Jana, Harold, Bonnie, Paul, Carolina, Greg, the family of Michelle, the family of Gil, Joanne, Billy, Gracie, Noah, Kevin, James, Robin, Dean, Vince, Lore, Scotty, Tyler, Ed, the family of Kathy, Laura, the family of Joe, Jen, Eric, Judy, Misty, the family of Bobby, Tim, Alice, Al, and all those we name now. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Lord, we give you thanks for all who have died in service to this nation, especially those we name aloud or in our hearts now. Inspire us, Lord, to walk in your light and to live for the sake of freedom and justice for your children. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We commend these and all our prayers to you, O God. Come near to us with your saving help for the sake of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share a sign of Christ's peace. Christ, peace. I don't even know if I have this. All right, great. You got a good seat with the air blowing on you.
Thank you.
We stand. Create in me a
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter, and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy,
in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." We'll sing together the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father. Thank you.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
Thank you.
We stand. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love towards one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. We'll say together our mission statement, which is found on page 5 of the bulletin. As united people of God,
Go in peace, serve the Lord until your heart looks like God's heart.